Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Maybe my, there it is. Look at that. I think Jimmy mentioned it. I had to step outside for a second, but on the 2nd, we're going to have a lunch for the men, a steak lunch, steak and potatoes, keep it simple. I know that men hate steak and potatoes, but you guys can endure. So we do have a sign-up sheet on back. Please sign up because we do need to know so that way we can prepare accordingly. And if you have any questions, just come see me afterwards. It's going to be at the Kavanaugh's home. They graciously have offered their home to go out there and hang out. So just I pray most of you are just excited about it and go and have some fellowship and the word of God, some worship, all good stuff. Amen. Yeah. It's a little quiet here this morning, isn't it? A little quiet. Another thing is, you know, Christmas, or the 24th, I think, is on Sunday. So we're going to be having a candlelight service this year. Looking forward to that. And be praying about missions trip. The Lord may be opening up the door, looks like, for a mission trip to Mexico next year. And when I know, you guys will know. Right now, it just it looks like that direction. If you guys, if the Lord has moved in your heart, and you know who you are, that God has been stirring your heart to go and share the gospel and serve God's people, however it is that He would have us serve, just be praying about it and prepare. Make sure your passports, they're, you know, not expired like mine that was, but mine's good now. So, and that way, you know, when things come up, we can move forward in those things. So with that, if you would you open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. And I know that I am throwing some of you off. We're not on Luke. And, you know, once in a while, we do this to keep you on your toes. So I'm going to be in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Don't you love that noise? I love that. Those little guys running around, little babies. Oh. Well, some of us may love it more at this point, right? I also like the noise of the pages turning too in the Bible. That's a sweet noise as well. So the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to be on verse 30 and just read down a few verses. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Verse 37. God's word says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you that your promises to me, Lord, personally, and everyone in here can say that it is to me and to my children, Lord, and my children's children. And Lord, what an awesome thing that is. You're a God that loves us, that, Lord, sees us before the foundation of the earth. Just an amazing God, Lord. And we so are just blown away, Lord, by your grace. Lord, I pray that we would have spiritual eyes, that we would be a church that, Lord, would walk in the Spirit, that, Lord, your word would just have such a place in our hearts, it would have authority over our lives, that your Spirit would direct us and guide us every day, Lord. That, Lord, we'll be a people that truly make an impact on the kingdom of God. That we're just so, Lord, grateful and joyful to serve the King of Kings. So, Lord, may you bless your word this morning. May you pour out your Spirit, Lord. May you speak to us powerfully. Lord, we are so thankful for you, for the work you've done in us, are doing through us, and Lord, for the work you're yet to do. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen? Amen. I was a little concerned because I forgot my glasses at home. And my memory is not that great. I was like, did I leave glasses up in the pulpit or not? So the whole time here, I was thinking, Lord, may there be some glasses up in the pulpit. So, praise Jesus. The book of Acts, such an awesome book. It really is the history of the early church. It is the act of the Holy Spirit. It is what the Spirit of God does in the heart of his people. It is a continuation of the book of Luke. Luke also is the author of this. Really, it is the Holy Spirit who wrote this. And at the very beginning, what we see here is a continuation. It says that in the day of Pentecost is when we're picking up here in chapter 2. So just to get you up to date of where we're at, the Bible says, in the book of Acts, it says that Jesus was seen by his apostle by many infallible proofs. In other words, it is so obvious, undeniable truth that Jesus rose from the dead, and for 40 days he was seen, and during those 40 days that he appeared to his disciples, he encouraged them. And after 40 days, he was taken up, but he told them, listen, I'm going away, but he had told them before, and we'll read that in the book of Acts. We read that in Matthew as well, that there was a promise that he said that he was going to fulfill, that the Father was going to fulfill. In John, he says, I'm going away, but hey, listen, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I have to go away in order for this Holy Spirit to come, a helper, a paraclete, one equal to him. And he had told them, listen, John baptizes you with water, but they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. When God baptizes us with his Holy Spirit, it's such an amazing thing. Listen, that happens sometimes when we just come to know the Lord. Same time, same event, and it's an incredible thing. The apostles here, the disciples, they already had received the Spirit of God. Jesus and John, when he rose from the dead, he appeared in the midst of them, and he says, he breathed on them, the Bible says, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So they had the Holy Spirit in them at that point. If Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And now what's going on here is for 40 days, now they were meeting, they were seeing what was Jesus was encouraging them. And as he's taken up, they are meeting together in the upper room. They're meeting together. It says that it was about 120 disciples or so. They choose the 12th apostle as well, Matthias. So all this is going on. The day of Pentecost is 50 days after the first Sabbath, after the Feast of Weeks, okay, after Passover. Just for your information, really it's 50 days afterwards. So it's a very short period of time. So for a little over the week, over a week, the disciples are like, what do we do now? Jesus has ascended. What do we do? Hey guys, you know what to do when you don't know what to do? You pray. You seek the Lord. And the Lord will, he will speak to you. His promise is, listen, if we lack wisdom, what does the Bible tells us to do? To ask. And God doesn't give with little droplets. He gives in buckets. And they were praying. And as they prayed, the Bible says that the day of Pentecost had fully come, that they were meeting there. Here are the apostles. They were meeting in the upper room. I love this room here, by the way. You guys notice it's the upper room? I keep saying, one of these days, we're going to have a sign there, the upper room. And they were meeting, and they were praying. And it says that there was this noise, like this wind that came about over them, the promise of the Father, the Spirit of God coming. And it was so loud that it got the attentions of all those others in the temple, that they ran there and they wanted to know what's going on. And what happened was that all of a sudden divided tongues fell on them. I started speaking in tongues. And as you read this carefully, as you take the time, go back and read it, it says that there were men from all over the world, different areas with different languages. And all of a sudden, they have these men and they're praising God. By the way, speaking in tongues is upwards, praising the Lord. We're praising Jesus, praising God. It's a praise to the Lord. And they heard them in their own language. These men did not know how to speak that language, but they understood them in their own language. And they were confused. So Peter, in their confusion, he comes, he stands up, and he brings clarity to the people. He says, listen, this is not, they're not drunk as you suppose. This is the work of God. And he brings scripture into play. He says, this is what the prophet Joel had wrote about, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days. This is what's going on, he says. Amazing. And he goes on and gives this incredible sermon to this group of people. As you read the sermon, listen, this is nothing that is such an incredible, elaborate sermon. It's a simple sermon. He quotes scripture and he brings them to the cross of Jesus Christ. He preaches the cross. He preaches sin. He preaches repentance. Simple message. But the difference was he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was empowered by the Spirit of God. God was moving in his life. Have you ever heard someone preach a simple message that, man, it just resonated with you? That the Spirit of God just spoke to you? You can have this man here and this man here, and they preach the same message, but this here, for some reason, something didn't go. But this man here, filled with the Spirit of God, in the power of God, all of a sudden, man, you are cut to the heart. And that's what it says that happened to these people when they heard that they were the ones that crucified Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. They were the ones, they were guilty. By the way, do you know that you and I are guilty of the same thing? That it was us that crucified him. It was us. It was our sins. He died for our sins. The thought that God would hang on the cross, he chose to do that. And he chose to do it to pay your debt and my debt. It was our sins. And when they heard that, they heard this powerful message. The Spirit of God convicted them. And that is where we pick up in our scripture. And you say, how is this a thankful message? We're going to see. I am thankful for the Lord that he died for me. Are you not? I am thankful that I'm forgiven. I am thankful that I'm born again. I am thankful for God's grace and mercy. And listen, Thanksgiving is about being thankful to God Almighty. It's not about turkey. It's about being thankful to our Lord, to our Savior. And verse 37, that's how we get there. Powerful message. And this is the response of the people when they hear this powerful, powerful, simple message. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, notice they were hearing, they were paying attention. It says they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The conviction of the Holy Spirit causes a response in the heart of men. When the Spirit of God convicts you, he speaks to you. Listen, there's a response. What do I do? You can choose to silence the Spirit of God, to say, no, I will not listen. No, I will not hear. I want to continue in my sin. I want to continue where I'm going. You can choose to close your ear to it, but you've heard it. When God speaks, you've heard it, and you will not be the same. And there was a conviction in their hearts, and they said, what shall I do? What shall we do? The message was heavy. Pierce their heart because the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the Bible says. And there's no one that can hide from it. The word of God pierces your soul and it speaks to the deepest part of you and me. And the Spirit of God was moving and they had a revelation of their sin and they wanted to get their sin away from them. Do you guys remember when you came to know the Lord? There was a new revelation of your sin. There was like, wow, I'm a sinner. You walked your life not knowing. Yeah, there was a conscience. You did a couple things and so forth. And you're like, oh man, I feel terrible. This is wrong because God has given us a conscience. But when we heard the word of God, when we heard the gospel message, when we heard that, listen, that we're sinners in need of a Savior, all of a sudden, there's this realization of sin, and that sin all of a sudden weighs 1,000 pounds. And it's like you can't get out from under it. And this is what these people are experiencing. They want to get off this sin off of them. They want to get rid of it. And they say, what do we do? How can we get rid of our sin? It's killing me. It's suffocating me. Have you ever felt that? I hope you have. That's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's when we come and know. There has to be an understanding of our sin nature, that sin is killing us, in order for us to understand that we need a Savior. When that happens, everything changes. We're born again. And your life is different. It's no longer a routine going to church, if a person may have grown up and done religious exercises and so forth. Your life changes. It's never the same. So Peter has the answer for them. Take a look. He says, you have that weight of sin? You understand this? He says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. Notice it's a gift. He is a gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. What was their part? Repentance. The word repentance is a very simple word. It means you're going this direction and you make a U-turn and you go the opposite direction. Very simple word. And oftentimes we don't like that word. Repentance, that means I did something wrong. I don't like that word. I don't like to be told that I'm a sinner. I got news for you. You are. So am I. But I'm forgiven. And as we walk with the Lord, we're not sinless, but we sin less and less and less in our walk with the Lord. As He grows us, shapes us, molds us, conforms us more into the image of His Son. And He says, repent. And He says, do it publicly. That's why, usually, most of the time when we go through Scripture, when I'm up here for a Sunday sermon, Bible study, most of the time there is an altar call. And I know that many, they go away, well, maybe not many, some that come, they come and they hear the Word of God, maybe they're visiting, they go away, and they miss their opportunity to return to Jesus. They miss their opportunity to change the trajectory of their life, to be born again, be a totally different new person. Doesn't mean that their whole life, everything, that all those things are forgotten or anything of that nature. No, it just means that we're now babies in Christ and we learn how to walk with Him. There's a desire to know Him. An incredible thing. He calls them. He calls them publicly. He says, be baptized. Baptism is a public declaration of what has transpired inside of an individual. You're telling the public, you're telling the world, I am a Christian. Hold me accountable. I am following Christ. Now, for you and I here, that may not be a big thing in general for the public. For me, for you, it's a big thing. We're like, wow, how amazing. But for them, it could mean their lives. This is the early church. Not only is He saying, be baptized, repent, and so forth, He's doing it in the temple. They just killed Jesus just 50 days earlier or so, being persecuted. What do you mean, repent and be baptized and confess this Jesus? It could mean their lives. There's a seriousness to it. He says, repent, turn, do it publicly. Let everybody know that you received Jesus. When you do that, you don't walk in the shade, guys. I think so often Christians, the church, God's children, we allow the enemy, we allow the culture to shut down our witness. We hear everything in the world. We hear all this perversity. He's going to say, hey, be safe from this perverse generation. He's going to say here in a second. We hear all these things and everything, and the world doesn't blink an eye. It's okay. It's this and that. It's like amazing. But we, the church, often is ashamed, embarrassed. You have nothing to be embarrassed about. You are saved. We have nothing to be embarrassed about. We are Christians. We are forgiven people. We're people of faith. We're people that follow our Jesus. And listen, on here, we're going to see a number of things that are going on. First of all, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in order for us to be a bold people. There's an old saying in Calvary that says, just doctrine, the church practices just doctrine. This is it, just word, just doctrine. Let me give you all the nuances of everything and so forth. The church that focuses on doctrine is a church that will dry up. Just doctrine. And then there's those that say, just the Spirit of God. We just want to follow the Spirit of God and all these miracles and all these things. And all of a sudden, you get all this weird stuff going on and so forth. And it says that a church that just seeks the Spirit will blow up. Not in a good way. But a church that has a balance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God will grow up. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Word of God in order for us to walk boldly with the Lord. God moves in the life of His people. We see Him over and over and over move. It's amazing. Maybe you're new here. Now share this because it's open, it's out, it's in social. We have people that have shared it. What's been going on with one of our sisters in church? We've seen God move. The doctors didn't have no hope for her, sent her home. But Jesus has other plans. And we've seen her get stronger and eat and rejoice and so forth and so on. Listen, we don't know what the Lord's going to do. All we know is the doctor said, so many days, a couple weeks. And Jesus says, no, I got so much more for you. And Michael shared with me, he says, you know, it was so great. We went to the doctor for a follow-up, and the surgeon was just so surprised to see her. Literally, she says he almost came into tears. She did not expect to see her. Not only see her, but she's sitting up, talking, eating. She's doing well, blown away. That's the power of God. God is a God of miracles, guys. Do you guys know that? God is a God of miracles that moves just as He did in days past. He moves today. He does incredible things in the lives of individuals. He changes lives. So he calls them to receive the Lord publicly, to declare it. And then he says, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. God gives us gifts. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, He indwells us. The Bible says that if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, then you're not a Christian. You're not born again. He has sealed us with His Spirit. In fact, Ephesians 1:13 says, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the Bible, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You and I are sealed with the Spirit of God. Amazing. I am so thankful that God has made repentance available to me, that repentance is not a dirty word, that I can repent if I'm going this direction. The Lord says, repent, turn to me. It's not 12 steps. It's not 15 steps. It's one step. And Jesus says, here I am. I can repent. Think about this legally. If you went and committed a crime and you go before the judge and the judge says, well, if you tell the judge, well, I'm just not going to do it again. I repent my heart. I feel bad about it. And look, I will never do it. And you may be sincere. And he says, okay, sounds good. Go home. Never going to happen. In the economy of God, Jesus paid for that price, for that sin. And God says, you are completely forgiven. I've forgotten your sins. You're no more when there's true repentance. That is the people of God. That is, God is so gracious. The more we learn God's word, the more we learn God's will, His heart, his mind, his understanding, not his understanding, his desire for us. So I am so thankful that God has made repentance available to me. I am so thankful for the gift of salvation, and I am so thankful that he has removed all my sins. Are you not thankful? We are thankful. We're a thankful people. I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit lives in me and points me to Jesus, that he's my spiritual safety rail in my life. Listen, the Spirit of God lives in you. If you have received the Lord, the Spirit of God lives in you. And he gives you warnings. When you are thinking of doing something, the Spirit of God says, don't do that. This is not pleasing to me. Stop it. This, don't go that direction. There are rails in our lives. The Word of God teaches us the will of God, his desire for our life. It causes us to grow up, to be nourished in his word and understanding and live a godly, holy life. But the Spirit of God is like those rails that works together, that when we're getting off, veering off to one side, he says, don't go that direction. But some of us jump over that rail. Some of us say, you know, I don't care. And then God in his grace, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. Again, gives you another warning. He says, don't do it. But some of us may say, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going that direction. And then we reap the repercussions of our disobedience, of the warnings. And then we say, God, why am I here? How did I come to this place? When we know how we came to that place, God said, don't do it. Listen, the only way that we live a victorious life is by staying in the Word of God, being obedient to the Spirit of God. And then here, we're going to see, as Peter goes on, that the early church practiced certain things that made him a healthy church, a powerful church, an effective church. Look at verse 40. Peter's not done. He says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse or this crooked or bent generation. Do we live in a bent generation? We live in a perverse, bent generation. They're calling things that I would never imagine. You guys know this. I don't. Even more so now. And he says, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word, there has to be a receiving of his word, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And when they came to know the Lord, they were done. They went home. They had their fire insurance and never came back to church. Is that what it says? No, right? No. Listen. When a person is born again, they can't go back to their old life. They can't go back to their old life. It is going back to it and living in that place, it means, hey, maybe there was some sort of conviction in your heart, but there wasn't sincerity. Now, that doesn't mean a person will not fall. Don't misunderstand me. I think we've gone through Scripture enough to understand that Christians, they fall sometimes. Well, you don't fall into sin. You walk into sin. You walk that direction. It's a decision that you make. But there's times in our lives where you know, things happen and you sin and so forth. It's not perfection. We understand that. But the old life is the old life. There's a new life now. You're born again into the family of Christ, and you desire to have communion with them and walk with them. And listen, he changes everything about your life. And as time goes by, you look back at who you were before and you're like, that was another person. That was another life. Because it was. But they weren't just saved and went home. Fire insurance, we're good, going home, never coming back to church. That wasn't it at all. The person that's born again needs the Word of God. They need the milk of the Word. Notice verse 42, it says, and they continue steadfastly. Now that word means in the face of opposition. That means that you are determined to continue in this action, course of action that you're in. They continue in the word of God. They continue walking with the Lord. And it says, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the word of God. In fellowship, the word is koinonia, the Greek. It means contribution or the sharing of their lives. The breaking of bread, which is what we do. We have meals, those love feasts, but also it means communion. And in prayers. Four things. Very simple. Four things. It's like a table, right? You remove one of those legs, that table doesn't, it's probably going to fall. Healthy church. And as I mentioned this, these things here, I am so grateful for our church, for Bonnie, because these are things that we just do. Listen, there's no checklist. Let me go. We got prayer done today. Check. All right. What about the doctrine? Oh, check. We don't do that. We're just Christians living unto the Lord. And we have a time of prayer, and the church comes. Some of you pray at home. Some of you come to join us. We get room for worship because it's the worship of the Lord. By the way, worship, it's not for you. It's not for me. It's for Jesus. It is literally the definition of that word, worship. He is worthy. So we give time and place for the worship of God when we are just giving thanks to the Lord, praising the Lord, worship. Give the word of God reverence. We go through the word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. I don't skip anything. There's some things I want to skip. I let you know. There's certain things I'm like, I really would like to skip that, Lord. And he says, whose church is it? Yours, Lord. Can't skip it. It's the word of God. And there's people in every church, in every church building, that will come and they hear the word of God and they don't like what they heard, but it is the word of God and they never come back. But that same person will go to another church and they hear the word of God and they're convicted again and they go, they don't come back to that church either. Now, what do you think the problem is? That is the grace of God, the love of God trying to reach that individual and saying, repent, turn. I am so grateful for the word of God. I am so grateful that we live in a country that we can open up the word of God at any time, at any place. We are going through the First Kings on Wednesday. And listen, the Queen of Sheba came 1,200 miles to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And when she got there and she observed, it says that she saw the wisdom. She saw what transpired, the effects, wisdom being applied, and all these things, the servants, the food. She saw it everywhere. She says to Solomon, the half of it wasn't told to me. Jesus speaks of this event in Matthew, and he says to the Pharisees, hey, you guys won't even cross the street. He says, the queen of the south, she came from a long distance to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and one greater than Solomon is here. The one that gave Solomon his wisdom incarnate was there. The word of God. Incredible wisdom. You want wisdom? We want wisdom? This is the wisdom of God. And it goes contrary to the world, guys. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We share the word of God. This is the wisdom of God. It keeps us safe. We have such a privilege with the word of God, understanding it, growing in it. There's things that we see that the world does not see because God has given us his spirit and understanding, and we see with spiritual eyes and we're like, wow. And let me tell you, the word of God always holds true. Always. Without a shadow of a doubt. I am so grateful for the word of God that he would make it available to you and to me. Jesus said that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What did you guys eat last week? You may remember a meal or two, right? I don't know what I ate last week. I'm sure I ate a piece of steak somewhere in there, but I don't remember. But listen, if I wouldn't have eaten all last week until now, I would be weak, be malnutrition. I'd be like, so it'd be so apparent. Well, I could probably go a few days. Okay, I give you that. But why would we go a week or two, a month, 6 months without the Word of God? Why would we go a whole week until Sunday without the Word of God? Oftentimes you say, oh, man, I don't hear the Lord, or I don't see God moving in my life. He's not speaking to me. He's not, you know, or just I'm making these decisions and I don't see I'm trying to do the best. Why? Because you're not listening to the Word of God. You're not reading the Word of God. Your spirit is weak because you are not partaking of His Word that you may be nourished and strengthened and grow spiritually. If I stop reading the Word of God, I'm going to die. I'm going to go off the rails. I am so glad that He's made His Word available to us. And in His Word, He reveals His will to me. His Word contains His will. You want to know His will? Get into His Word. I am so thankful that He's left me instructions on how to live my life, how to raise my kids, how to love my wife, and challenges me. I'm so thankful. And He's done that for all of us. He gives us instructions on the wife, hey, you're not only to love your husband, but you're to honor him, right, and respect him. Men, you're to lead your wife. You're the priest of the home. You're to love her as Christ loved the church. That means dying for her. There is so much there. You take a few verses and there's wisdom, incredible godly wisdom in it. Instructions for you and for me. For our kids, training up our kids. He's given us His Word. Psalms 107, verse 20 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Do you know that God's Word heals? He sent His Word and healed them. The answers are found here. Sometimes we don't know, and there's hurt, whether it is emotionally, wherever it is that we're going through in life, and all of a sudden the Word of God comes and comforts us and heals us, reminds us of God's love. God's Word heals and delivers them from destruction. It keeps us from doing the wrong thing. The psalmist continues, he says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. I am so thankful to the Lord. I am so thankful for worship too. Second, the second thing that it says on here, right? It says fellowship. The word is koinonia. It means joint participation or sharing of one's life with another. What it means is this. I share my life with Curry and his family, with John, and with all the church body in the sense we come here and we share of ourselves with one another. Joint participation. There's a real relationship. It's not superficial. It's not a momentary thing. We just come, boom, we go. That is not a relationship. It means the early church, they hung out. They spent time in doctrine so far, right? We see that. The Word of God, they spent time in fellowship. They got together. They participated. They shared things that were going on in their life. They bore one another's burdens, as the Bible says. Sunday was not a life event for them. It's just not a one-time event. Fellowship is a life event. The verse that we have here for our church, because we started during the time of COVID, right when COVID started, that the Lord just laid on my heart right away, was Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Listen, we can't consider one another if we're not in fellowship. If we're not spending time with one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Doesn't matter. I can just sort of do whatever I want. Once again, I got my fire insurance and so forth. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. We need to encourage one another. Stirring up love as we come together. Encouraging one another. And so much, listen, this is for right now. You guys know this, what's going on. Turn on the news. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Things going on in the world are scary for those that don't know the Lord. It's scary for Christians as well, because we don't want to see people die. We don't want to see all these different things, but there's peace because we know what's happening. God has given us His word. He tells us this will happen. I'm so thankful that God has made the church such, the body of believers, in such a way we can have fellowship with one another. The early church was a thankful church. Third, notice what it says, that they participated in the breaking of bread. Now, you guys know that I like breaking bread. My favorite things to do is eating together, having a meal together. Listen, something special happens when you have a meal together. That doesn't happen much anymore in the society we live in. Everything is, let's go. Yeah, McDonald's, okay. You know, something special happens when we get together and have a meal together. There's this unity that happens. There's real relationships. There's a unity of the body. And we do that here, don't we? Does all these things, do they ring a bell? Listen, I'm going to go through this. I'm like, Lord. It's like the Holy Spirit sometimes says, yeah, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you're spending time in the Word, in prayer, you're breaking bread. It's a good thing. And I'm going to move quickly here because you're like, yes, right. I have a few more things to go over, but we'll just cut it short. But the fourth thing was that the early church prayed. A praying church is a powerful church, is an effective church. God moves in prayer. We have witnessed it over and over again. The disciples witnessed Jesus praying. And they didn't say, Lord, show me how to do those miracles that you do. Show me. No, they didn't say, Lord, teach us to pray. I see what's going on here. Lord, teach us to pray. So important. There's power in prayer. God moves in prayer. The enemy flees in prayer. Prayer. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, as God spoke to Solomon, He said, if my people who are called by my name, are you Christians? Are you called by His name? We're Christians, right? Who are called by my name will humble themselves. It takes us some sort of humility at times to pray. Someone's like, no, I don't, I'm embarrassed or this, or sometimes I don't need anything. I don't ever want to ask God for anything because I just feel like I just don't want to do that. That's called pride. He created all things. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Does our land need healing, guys? Our land needs healing. There's so much things going on in our country here. Some things that we have no clue about. So many things. Man, the church should be in earnest prayer more than ever. Prayer is vital for the church, and these four things are essential for a healthy church. And I am so thankful. Now listen here, that has been the staple of this church from the very beginning. All these things, we've given room for prayer, for the Word of God, for worship, for the breaking of bread. We take communion all the time. Well, not all the time, once a month. We take at least once a month, sometimes more. It's important. We got to remember. It is important that we do it. By the way, that is an ordinance that is prescribed to us. It's not a choice. God said, do this. So we do it. We'll leave it there because we have some great food next door, and we're going to practice these things that we spoke of. But first, we're going to have communion. And as the worship team comes up and leads us in another song, we're going to have some men and just go around passing out the elements. Please hold on to the elements, and we're going to take communion together. And by the way, I know that this doesn't go well with people, but it's biblical. This is what the Word of God says. If you don't know the Lord, just pass communion. Nobody's going to judge you. Believe me, here, this church, the Church of God, we're a church of people that we have blown it. We were sinners, some were of the worst kind, but God has rescued us. So if you think anybody's going to look down at you, nobody's going to look down at you. All you want is like, hey. So if you don't know the Lord, it's okay. Just pass it on. Why? And I tell you this, the Bible says not to do that. But why? Because some people were taking it. In the 1 Corinthians, we read that they were taking it as a common thing. And it says, and that's why some of you are sick, he said, and some of you are asleep. In other words, there's a judgment that came upon them because they were taking the things of God as a common thing. If a person isn't just steep in sin, they have no, they know that they're not going to repent. They don't want to change. They don't want that. And look, we use a judgment with that, right? We know what we mean by that. And to say, nope, this is what I'm doing. I don't want, don't take it. Once again, I know that this rubs people the wrong way, but that's what the Word of God says. But here's the other thing. Jesus says, repent. You can repent right now as we're passing out communion and say, Lord, forgive me. And you take communion and we celebrate because that is a reminder that Jesus shed his blood for you and for me, washed away our sins. And it's that simple. We repent and say, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Man, I am struggling with this. I can't do it, but you can. Your promise is that you give me your Holy Spirit. You give me the strength. You've given me your word. And you have forgiven me at the cross. You bled for me. And you walk out of here light as a feather. It's an amazing thing. So the men will come up. I'm just going to pray as they come on up and give the Lord thanks. Lord, thank you. You are so good. You're so gracious. We love you. We praise you. Lord, you're such a good Father. You love us so much. Lord, today may we have thankful hearts. Grateful hearts, Lord. You saved us. You've rescued us. You've forgiven us. Lord, you brought us into the family of God, a royal family, a heavenly family. You've given us eternal life. Thank you that we can just turn to you at any point, that no longer is there a veil, Lord, that you've opened up heaven to us. We can go before the throne of grace at any time. What incredible love. So we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.